How did the bird and the bee get started?
Greg was playing on my first solo album, and then I think we just clicked over musical interests and we wrote a couple songs together. Greg was just starting his career as a producer writer. So I think we thought like, oh, maybe we'll write a couple songs and we could see if somebody else wants to play them. When we started writing, we realized that we really liked what we did. So we made a whole record. He's an incredible player. And so to combine that also with being able to capture sounds as well as he does, it's a rare thing to find in a person.
So why the Roth era Van Halen?
We thought, like, let's do a whole covers record. And so we did that with Hall & Oates. We made it a volume one, and I think with the idea that we'd always do a volume two. And I think with Van Halen, as the same with Hall & Oates, we wanted to do something that we both had a real affinity for, especially in our, like, in our childhood. And then also something that felt challenging. I think that's sort of how we come at it, is like taking these songs that are good songs and saying they're good songs no matter what you do to them.
You got to meet him. I saw the Instagram where you guys got to meet.
He had this sort of private show at SIR where he invited a bunch of people and we were lucky enough to go. And you know, he played all Van Halen songs. And then afterwards, he just kind of jumped into the crowd and just met a bunch of people. And Greg and I were there. I don't know if he knew that we were going to be there, because when I said, you know, I'm Inara George from The Bird and the Bee, and he was like, what a coincidence. He's like an encyclopedia about culture and music and fashion and everything.
I live my life like there's no tomorrow. All I've got, I had to steal.
Talk about the track Running with the Devil.
Well, there's no guitar in the whole album. Not one bit of guitar. That was sort of intentional. We didn't want to even touch Eddie Van Halen's playing. So the idea was that Greg would play, the piano would substitute for the guitar. That song, especially the way the record should sound, this is kind of how we should sort of veer it towards, is more of jazz and revoicing the chord and the stacked harmonies. Because we wanted to make it like us, but and then still sort of pay tribute to the original. Because Greg had been working on it and he sent it to me, and I thought, oh yeah, this is the way, this is how we should do this album.
I heard the news, baby, all about your disease. Yeah, you may have all you want, baby, but I got something you need. Oh yeah.
Let's talk about the track Ain't Talking About Love. Your voice on that is so sexy. Can I say that?
Thank you. No, yeah, for sure. I'll take it. I remember that one was kind of fun. We sort of like took a little bit more of an 80s goth kind of vibe with it. And I remember singing that song, and actually it was one of the easier ones for me to sing. I just kind of went in there and I sang it a couple times, and that was, it's like when a song kind of hits your voice in the right way. So I appreciate you saying that, because I think it was kind of it's just fun when it all sort of lines up. Yeah.
It's a rockin' piece the way you guys do it.
Oh, well, thank you. I think fans don't think so, though.
What do they know? So Jamie's Crying, that's the tune I love by Van Halen, because all of this is very, very melodic. But what do you think about Jamie's Crying?
That song is so it's so sweet about a girl who wanted something more than just a one night stand. And I think I thought that was really pleasantly surprised that was what David Lee Roth was writing about, because there's nothing snarky about it. I mean, it almost, to me, I felt like there was real compassion for something, somebody that wanted something real, you know, that wanted something that would be lasting. I think, and also having me sing it from a female perspective, I thought that was kind of an interesting new way to look at the song. Yeah, but I like that one a lot.
How about Jump? That must have been fun.
It was fun. That one was a little hard. We had to kind of figure out, it's like to make sure to keep the fun of it. Like of all the Van Halen songs, I think Jump is the most mainstream. And so we kind of wanted to keep it in that vein, you know, and also reworking the keyboards with my voice. I think that was something that Greg came up with, and I thought that was a pretty genius approach to it. It was fun, and it's a super fun one to play live.
How about Panama? I never can figure out what that song's about. Is it about a car? Is it about a girl?
And I think it is about having a car and getting a girl in the car. That's how I interpreted it when I listened to it. Because what's funny about Panama is that the first time I heard Panama, I was 10 years old and I was, you know, studying history. And I assumed that the song was about the Panama Canal. yeah, I did. I was like, oh no, it's about a car and a girl. Of course. Why would it be about the Panama Canal? But it's like, that's a testament to David Lee Roth. Cause I, you know, like he could write a song about the Panama Canal and make it cool. So
Moby Dick begins. Call me Ishmael. Greg in the back, you there, Greg, can you quiet down, please? I'm trying to read this text. All right. I want you to turn your assignments today. And Nora, I'm going to have to ask you to stay after class.
So hot for teacher. Goodness gracious.
Yes.
So who's doing the voiceover, the male voiceover?
That's Beck.
That was Beck?
Yeah, that's Beck.
Wow. How cool. Yeah.
Oh, I know. It was super fun because Greg's been working with Beck and we had sort of copied what was in the original recording, and it just kind of sounded, and it just wasn't right. So we thought like it would be fun to have kind of some sort of vocal quality like that, like a little bit more sort of flip the song a little. And so, Greg was working with Beck and just said, hey, would you want to do this? And Beck just got on the mic and just started like improvising and came up with all that stuff, which is so amazing.
That's really where Greg takes off on a great jazz piano solo during Hot for Teacher. And it works completely.
Well, thank you. That one, that Hot for Teacher, I think, was the one that took the most time to figure out how to do it properly, how to do it well. But I love that one. It's so fun.
Tomorrow there will be an essay due on the dialectical shamanism of David Lee Roth. And there will be a pop quiz. Does anybody have any questions?
what's the been the public reaction to what we would call essentially, you know, male rock, male hard rock, with your female perspective on that?
Well, I think it has divided. I mean, let's just talk about like Van Halen fans. I think it sort of divides the world, that world a little. And I completely understand that, like, for a hardcore Van Halen fan, they might think of it as sort of this weak version. Our approach was really to look at the musicality of the band and to really kind of celebrate that. And so I think that there are other hardcore Van Halen fans who recognize that, and I think appreciated that we were kind of taking these songs in different directions. But still, if you consider like Eddie Van Halen or any of the band members, like there was a lot of jazz and classical influence that we saw, that we found, and so we kind of tried to bring those aspects out. And then I think singing rocks, like these kind of rock songs, that at the time they came out, it was a different world. I mean, if you look at the Van Halen videos, they're complicated. I was actually more surprised that I didn't find lyrically any misogyny. You know, I was it seemed like a man, like David Lee Roth, like a man who really loved women in a real way, you know. So, I mean, to say, you know, at those times, it's a funny time. We're not funny. I mean, it's a great time that we're reevaluating the way that men have typically taken advantage of the females, you know. So I think it was a cool way to sort of renegotiate these songs, in my mind.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jim Lang.